Cyprian.
Cyprian was born around 200 AD, died 258 AD. Cyprian was born in Carthage, as Tertullian was. Cyprian became a famous lawyer and a professor of rhetoric in Carthage. He was converted to Christ, converted to Christianity in 246 AD, roughly at 46 years old. As a famous lawyer and professor of rhetoric, he was a wealthy man. And upon his conversion to Christ, 246 AD, roughly 46 years old, he gave away his earthly fortune to the poor. And within 2 or 3 years, being a Christian, he was elected bishop of Carthage in his upper 40s. When emperors Decius, who was emperor of Rome from 249 to 251 AD, and Valerian, who was emperor 253 to 260 AD, those two emperors had ordered the first full-scale, universal, empire-wide persecution of the Christian church, and Cyprian was the bishop of Carthage at that time. So you remember from the early 100s AD, Emperor Trajan had the official proclamation across the Roman Empire that anyone who would not worship the emperor's lord, say Kaiser Kyrios, would be put to death. But under these two, here, Decius and Valerian, these two emperors in the mid-3rd century, mid-200s AD, there it was focused directly, full-scale, empire-wide, direct persecution directly at Christians. And Cyprian was the bishop of Carthage at that time. And as we shall see, died a martyr. Now, Cyprian referred to Tertullian as the master. And he read Tertullian's writings daily. Cyprian had a simple, literal understanding of the Bible in stark contrast to Origen. Remember his allegorical method, where Origen, in the city of Alexandria, believed that the spiritual understanding, the hidden meaning, the allegorical meaning, was where the real meaning, the deeper meaning, was found of any text, not in the literal. But that, more than likely, is why Origen had lots of bad things he said. Cyprian was different. Cyprian had a simple literary understanding of the Bible, more of a lawyer's approach. Cyprian was the first to see Holy Communion in sacrificial terms. It was not as a fresh sacrifice for sins, as the Roman Catholics, time of the Protestant Reformation, 16th century, were asserting. No, it was not that. He did not see Holy Communion as a fresh sacrifice for sins, but he did see it where Christ presents to God the Father his once for all finished sacrifice. This once for all finished sacrifice that we have in Hebrews 10, verse 12. Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And as Jesus said on the cross, tetelestai, it is finished, never to be repeated. He thought when Holy Communion was being administered that Christ himself, at the right hand of God, was presenting to God the Father his once for all time finished sacrifice. He also taught that Holy Communion also benefited the faithful departed, he called them. The faithful departed, believers who have died. Now, there's a certain sense where every one of us, for eternity, well, receive benefits from the once-for-all finished sacrifice of Christ, and will be reminded of it to see the nail marks in his hands and the pierced marks in his side forever. In a sense, you see it then symbolic of Christ's sacrifice for the church, past, present, and future. Like Ephesians 5:25. Christ gave himself for the church. All of God's elect, and all of history, which some have died and they're in heaven. Cyprian's main concern was Christian unity, and he expressed it in his book, The Unity of the Catholic Church. The Unity of the Catholic Church. This is a quote from Cyprian. He said, "Where the bishop is, there is the church. Where the bishop is, there is the church." In Cyprian's mind, the bishops, the overseers, had absolute disciplinary authority and God-given supernatural power to administer sacraments of baptism and communion. The word sacrament is from the Latin sacramentum, sacramentum, which meant, quote, oath of allegiance, oath of allegiance. The Western Latin Church increasingly used the word for baptism and communion, ultimately an oath of allegiance to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on the basis of his sacrifice and his resurrection from the dead. The Eastern Church called them mysteries. And really, we'll end up at times seeing it, but because when different words are used, one in Greek or one in Latin, you end up with some different meanings at times. And when we get to the Protestant Reformation, we'll see that with justification, where whether one used the Latin term or whether one used the Greek term, one ends up with a different understanding. In Cyprian's idea of the bishop being an apostolic succession all the way back to the apostles, and to Peter, to belong to the Catholic Church, a person had to be in fellowship with the local apostolic bishop. Now, this is the way he's understanding apostolic succession. And again, he said, where the bishop is, there is the church. So he said, to belong to the Catholic Church, a person had to be in fellowship with the local apostolic bishop, where the line can be traced back with the ordination process back to the apostles, who had ordained the first initial elders and bishops, and then succeeded from there, ordaining and ordaining and ordaining, etc. Each bishop, in his mind, was supreme in his own church, but bishops were equal across the Catholic Church, so that the Bishop of Rome was not the head of the Catholic Church. The Bishop of Rome was just one bishop among the other bishops. But in his mind, though, the Bishop of Rome had special dignity because Peter, the Prince of the Apostles, was its first bishop. But he did not believe that the Bishop of Rome was infallible. As we shall see, he'll end up with a controversy with Stephen, who is Bishop of Rome, and literally, I didn't give the quote, but literally says, you've made mistakes. You're not understanding the Bible correctly. Clearly, Cyprian did not believe that the Bishop of Rome was infallible. Yeah, we would agree, and so would Luther, yes. For Cyprian, the Catholic Church alone was the true church. You have to remember, again, the Gnostics are having their alternative church running around with their own presbyters, elders, across the Roman Empire. For Cyprian, the Catholic Church alone was the true church. Remember, they rejected the Montanists, running around doing their things as well at this point. This is where Cyprian said, this is a quote, outside the church, the Catholic Church, there is no salvation. He also said, quote, you cannot have God as your father unless you have the church as your mother, unquote. He compared the Catholic Church to Noah's Ark. That if you're not within the Ark, you will perish. What's interesting is we've talked about the persecution that would arise by these two emperors, Decius and Valerian, in the mid-200s AD. Well, their persecution raised some serious problems for Cyprian's understanding of the church. Okay, so it started with Emperor Decius and his persecution in 249 to 251 AD. And it raised some serious problems for Cyprian's understanding of the church. I didn't write all this on the board, but listen carefully. What happened under Decius, the emperor? Decius, this emperor of Rome, of the Roman Empire, ordered all citizens to offer sacrifices to the pagan gods and obtain an official certificate that they did this. Large numbers of Christians did this or paid for fake certificates to avoid martyrdom. Large numbers of Christians sacrificed to the pagan gods and got their certificate. They were apostates. They rejected their faith to save their own neck. Or some of them paid to get fake certificates. Said, well, I'm not going to do it, but I'll pay to get a fake one, so I'm not going to get put to death or in prison. After the persecution ended, these Christians wanted back into the church. So what should be done then with these lapsed Christians? They were called lapsed Christians. Lapsed meant those who fell away from the faith because of persecution. That's what they were referred to as lapsed. L-A-P-S-E-D. What we would call apostates. So two problems. First, should the lapsed be accepted back immediately, only after a period of time, or never? Secondly, who had the authority to decide? Who had the authority to decide whether to allow the lapsed to come back into the Catholic Church? Should they be allowed to come back in immediately, or only after a period of time, or never? You want to use lenient discipline, let them come back in immediately, or very strict discipline, only after a long period of time, or never? And then the second question is, who gets to decide? Who has the authority to decide it? Cyprian presided over a church council in 251 AD that said they could be received back into the church, but only after a period of time, proving their sincerity of their repentance by doing penance, by doing repentance for their sin, of doing certain amount of charitable service or charitable giving or a certain sacrificial whatever in their life, doing a certain amount of penance for their sin. And the amount of penance depended upon the severity of the apostasy. Greater apostasy, greater penance. To try and prove you're genuine. Show me you're genuine. I want to see it. Now remember, this is from Cyprian, who was a very wealthy lawyer and professor of rhetoric, converted to Christianity at age 46, that gave away his entire earthly fortune to the poor. He's saying, I want to see your sincerity and genuineness. Cyprian said, bishops alone could decide the amount. Others, at the church council there, others said confessors should decide the amount of penance that was required, how strict the discipline should be. Confessors were those who were imprisoned for their faith but not executed. So let those who confessed Christ during the persecution ended up being in prison for their faith, but not executed. They didn't suffer martyrdom, but they were tortured and imprisoned, but lived through it. Let the confessors, let those decide how much penance for these who lapsed, for these who ran away from suffering and were apostates and want to come back. Now, all of these decisions led to schisms in the church, led to divisions in the church, as you can imagine. Some favored strict discipline, long periods of penance before being able to come back or never allowing them to come back. Others favored lenient discipline. Okay, just let them come back after a little bit of penance or whatever, and just let them come back into the church. Disagreements over discipline. You ever heard of that? When you're being accused of being too strict? Followers of the presbyter Novatus formed a new church in Carthage, preferring a softer, more lenient discipline. And this led to even more problems, as you can imagine. Which we have some of these issues today, obviously, with free exercise of religion. What if someone became a Christian in a Novatianist church that had the lenient discipline, and they were baptized by Novatianists, and then chose to join the Catholic Church? Must that person be rebaptized? Cyprian said yes. The Bishop of Rome at that time, Stephen, said no. Cyprian said yes. Outside the Catholic Church, according to Cyprian, for him, no baptism was spiritually effective. Outside of the Catholic Church. Stephen, though, the Bishop of Rome, who was the Bishop of Rome from 254 to 257 AD, he said no. That a baptism with water in the name of the Trinity was valid. Now, the Bishop of Rome, Stephen, threatened to excommunicate all the churches of Northwest Africa and Asia Minor that sided with Cyprian. Cyprian responded and said that no bishop is over any other bishop, and let us wait for the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. That really, the Catholic Church is, quote, a church of the bishops. Plural. Church of the bishops. You almost see here Cyprian defending at an early state here Congregationalism. To say, okay, you don't like that I'm overly strict on my discipline or I think they need to be rebaptized. Well, you will worship yourself and your own congregation, but let the Lord Jesus decide. When he comes again, so be it. You're not the bishop over me. I'm not the bishop over you. Each bishop is supreme over his own church. I put Romans 14, 8 through 12, 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 5, where we have the statements made by Paul that we should really not be judging one another. He even says to the church of Corinth, I won't even really ultimately judge myself. The Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes again, is going to judge me. He's going to judge every one of us. Ultimately, we're accountable to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have disagreements in this area. We do. And sometimes that's just the way it is. And we have to wait till the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And until then, you just have to go worship elsewhere. And we'll worship here. That's just the way it is. But I know I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're not the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all under shepherds of the ultimate shepherd, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Interestingly, the controversy ended with the persecution by Emperor Valerian, and Cyprian was martyred in 258 AD. Roughly 58 years old. And Stephen also died during that time. Historians don't know whether he was martyred or not. Probably died a martyr. Stephen, the Bishop of Rome at that time. And this is where some controversies end this way, where there's just some things not fully decided, where persecution kind of pushes things down the road a ways.